The Lord be with you. The devil tempts us to trade in our eternal identity for things that are temporary. But Jesus uses his eternal identity to transform us who are temporary into what is eternal. Now let me explain what I mean by that. Everything that the devil offers Jesus is good. Devil sees Jesus, he's hungry, he's in the middle of the desert. The devil says, hey, how about we get you something to eat? Devil sees Jesus and says, you know, Jesus, I think you should be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Why don't we make that happen? Devil sees Jesus and says, hey, I hear you're the Son of God. Let's give you definitive proof that that's the case. Food for the hungry. Christ, Lord of all. The assurance of God's love in our lives. These are the things that Faith Lutheran works for every single week of the year. What's the problem here? The problem is what they cost. You see, what the devil offers in terms of provisions, in terms of the power to achieve his purpose, in terms of the assurance of God's love through proof, the devil offers all these things, but offers them as temporary. And they come at the expense of what is eternal, which is Jesus' identity as God's beloved child. You see, immediately prior to the temptations in the wilderness, Jesus is baptized. And in Jesus' baptism, Jesus hears the voice of God say to him, you are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Every single temptation is an attack on Jesus' identity. Every single temptation is an attempt to get Jesus to either distort his identity, reject his identity, or doubt his identity as God's beloved child. Let's start with the first temptation. Now, Jesus, he's hungry. It says he's famished. And it's not because there's a food shortage. It's not because there's no bread in the world. It's because Jesus is fasting for 40 days like we do during Lent. Because Jesus is preparing himself for the ministry to which God is calling him. He has undertaken this fast willingly. And so when the devil offers him food, provisions to sustain him, it comes at the cost of getting Jesus to distort his identity. The devil's basically saying to Jesus, hey, Jesus, I heard you were the Son of God. Seems pretty harsh that the Son of God's got to suffer this way. Son of God's got to go hungry just because he's preparing himself for something. You know, I hear Caesar's son, I hear he never goes hungry. I hear as soon as he wants food, he snaps his fingers and people bring it to him. Maybe God's son should be more like Caesar's son, you know? The devil is offering Jesus provisions, but they are temporary. They will run out, but the cost is something eternal, distorting who Jesus is. The cost is getting Jesus to say, hey, yeah, maybe being God's son isn't about obedience to God. Maybe it's about taking advantage of the privileged position that I've got. And then there's the second temptation. The temptation for Jesus to receive power over all the kingdoms of the world. This power, it comes at a cost. It comes at the cost of Jesus rejecting his identity. You see, the devil's saying to Jesus, hey, Jesus, I know you're destined for great things, big things. Jesus, I know someday you are going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But let's be honest, Jesus, right now, this whole Son of God thing, what's it getting you? You're in the middle of a desert, you're hungry, you're praying. That's not doing anyone good. Think of all the good you could do if you ruled the world right now. Being Son of God's not going to get you there. But you know what? If you were my son, if you did things my way, if you worshiped me, you could get everything that you've been working so hard for. You could get it in an instant, Jesus. The devil offers Jesus power to achieve his purpose, but it is a coercive power. The power of having your foot on someone's neck, and it only lasts as long as you can keep your foot there. but it comes at the cost of something that is eternal, Jesus' identity. It comes at the cost of getting Jesus to reject his identity as the Son of God, to say, yeah, what good is it to be God's son anyway? The third temptation, getting Jesus to jump off the temple, because it's written in Scripture that God will send angels to lift him up. It sounds like it is the promise of proof of God's love. But it comes at the cost of eternal doubt. The devil is saying to Jesus, hey, Jesus, I heard, and it sounds like you heard, that you're God's beloved son with whom God is well pleased. But Jesus, how do you know? Those are just words. And he said those like 40 days ago. How do you know you're still God's son? How do you know he still loves you? I think you should maybe throw yourself off a building and see if he catches you, right? Then you'd know he'd love you. If you hurt yourself but he stops you first, well, that's a sign that he loves you. Otherwise, how else do you know? It sounds like it's a promise of proof, but here's the thing about making people prove that they love you. That proof is only good for that one moment in time, because tomorrow, who knows if they still love you? You better make them prove it again. It's temporary proof of God's love, but the cost is eternal doubt. The devil is trying to get Jesus to say, how do I know? How do I know that I am God's beloved son? Every single one of these temptations is trying to convince Jesus that what he wants in life, he can't get with the identity that he has. And that is envy. Envy is not simply desiring what someone else has, right? We can admire someone else's success and hope to have that kind of success in our life. We can respect someone who has skills and talents and characteristics that we don't possess, and we can desire to learn from that person. We can desire to grow in ourselves, to incorporate some of those aspects into our identity. No, envy is saying, I want to be that person so that I can have their life instead of mine. Envy sometimes wants to get rid of the other person so that we can become who they are, but always envy gets rid of ourself so that we can become who they are. Envy is fundamentally the belief that we can't get in life the provisions we need, the purpose that we have set out to achieve, the love, the praise, the admiration that we crave. We can't get it as who we are, so we have to become someone else. It is the belief that if I looked like that person, if I acted like that person, if I was that person, well, then I would be happy. But we can never be happy being other than who we are. We can never have provisions or praise or our purpose in life fulfilled being other than who we are, because then it is not us who have achieved those things, who have received those things. It is some false person. And so everything that we receive as that false person is an illusion. It is temporary. What the devil tries to tempt Jesus with is trading in his eternal identity for things that are temporary. But Jesus uses his eternal identity to transform those things that are temporary. You see, Jesus, he listened when he heard the voice of God say, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And hearing that voice allowed him to listen to God's voice throughout Scripture. And so he believes in his heart the word of faith, and he confesses it with his lips. When the devil comes to him and says, hey, how about changing those stones into bread? Jesus believes in his heart, and he confesses with his lips the word of God spoken in Deuteronomy. He says, one does not live by bread alone. And in that moment, he transforms his temporary hunger not into temporary provisions of bread, which, let's be honest, most people can make bread. Instead, Jesus transforms that temporary hunger into eternal confidence. Eternal confidence that it is God who will sustain and provide for him in his times of trial. And that eternal confidence Jesus can share and embody as no one else can, because he is the Son of God. And so he takes that confidence and he teaches it to his disciples. He teaches them to multiply loaves and fishes to feed the multitudes by trusting in that confidence that it is God's abundance that provides, that there is bread enough in this world if only we had faith enough to share it with each other. When the devil comes to him and says, "Hey, aren't you supposed to be king of the world? How about we make that happen by you worshiping me?" Well, Jesus has listened to the voice of God. He believes the word of faith in his heart, and he confesses it with the lips, confessing once again words from Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." In that moment, Jesus transforms his temporary powerlessness not into temporary coercive power, which tyrants throughout history use and then lose. No, Jesus transforms his temporary powerlessness into the eternal power of his conviction of his purpose in life. And that conviction will allow Jesus to achieve his purpose, because truly Jesus does become King of kings and Lord of lords. And we hear in Scripture that at his name every knee will bow, but they will bow not because his foot is on their back, but because he has knelt first to wash their feet. Jesus becomes Lord of all, not because of his coercion, but because of our conviction that here at last is a king who has come not to be served, but to serve. And when the devil comes and says, "How do you know that you are really God's beloved child? Throw yourself off this building and find out if he catches you." Jesus has listened to the voice of God, and so that word of faith is in his heart, and he confesses it with his mouth. He confesses the word of God once again from Deuteronomy. "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And in that moment, Jesus transforms his temporary doubt not into temporary proof, which must be proved each and every moment, but instead Jesus transforms that temporary doubt into eternal faith. Faith which can carry him through all of life's trials, even when he can't see God's angels there to carry him up. And because of that faith, on Easter Sunday, God raises Jesus to new life, surrounded by angels, just as the scriptures foretold. But God does it not so that Jesus can hold on to his identity as God's beloved child. God raises Jesus to new life because Jesus had the faith to die on the cross, to give away his identity as God's beloved child, to give that identity away to us. The opposite of envy is gratitude. And Jesus uses gratitude for his eternal identity to transform us who are temporary into children of God who are eternal. You see, when God formed you out of the dust of the earth, when God knit you together in your mother's womb, you were fearfully and wonderfully made, not just for a temporary time of cradle to grave, no, for all time, for all eternity. To proclaim with our mouth that Jesus is Lord is to proclaim that what Jesus says about us is what is true. Not what the devil says about us, not what the world says about us, not what our doubts within our hearts say about us, but what Jesus has done and says, that is who defines us. To proclaim that Jesus is Lord is to believe and to confess that God made someone to provide for and provision your whole life through. And guess who that person is? It's you. It is to believe that God made someone to fulfill your purpose in life, and that person is you and no other. God made someone to love, to praise, to be proud of for who you are, and that person is you and no one else. And so when the devil comes to you and tries to get you to trade in that eternal identity for temporary assurances about provisions or power to achieve your purpose or praise and promises of love, do not distort who you are. Do not reject who you are. Do not doubt who you are. Listen to the word of God spoken in Jesus' baptism, spoken to you in yours. Confess that Jesus is Lord, and what he says about you is the only thing that stands. That you are God's beloved child, as God made you to be for now and for all eternity, and may the gratitude for that eternal identity allow you to transform your temporary hunger into an eternal confidence of God's provision. May it allow you to transform your temporary powerlessness into eternal conviction about God's plan for you. May it allow you to transform your temporary doubt into eternal faith that you are God's beloved child. That is eternal. May that eternal identity transform everything that is temporary. Amen.